Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Karina Black. She's the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Joe Guild, Sam Kumar, and Pat Hickey. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Karina Black. She is the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you put out a note a couple of weeks ago that said recently the White House issued an executive order on resuming the United States Refugee Admissions Program, as well as a joint memo from the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Contrary to previous executive orders, these two announcements have received almost no attention in the national media until now, but they effectively dismantle the refugee resettlement program and affect nearly every refugee waiting for resettlement. It is likely under these conditions, few if any refugees will enter the United States. This is basically another refugee ban with a different name. So tell us about this.
So when the first refugee ban was published several months ago, there was quite a bit of uproar and it was widely discussed in the news. Surprisingly, this one that was passed on October 24th, basically just kind of got swept under the rug, and most people don't really understand that basically we have again dismantled the refugee resettlement program. In effect, what this new ban does, it increases the number of nationalities from the 5 Muslim majority countries to 11 countries, including Iraqis who helped U.S. military as interpreters. So those populations are now also included. It extends the security advisory for another 3 months. And so for those 11 countries, refugees are not able to enter. And in fact, immigrants from those countries are not able to enter. So we, from a resettlement perspective and immigration perspective, we don't understand that refugees basically are singled out as a population to be further vetted and screened because they are already the most vetted immigrants that we have in this country. And if you look at the 35-year history of the resettlement program, refugees have never been involved in a terrorist attack against the United States, a national security attack. There were 2 Cubans at the very beginning of the program in 1982 who tried, but in effect, refugees don't pose a risk to the U.S. population.
What kind of response have you gotten since you put this memo out?
Actually, I was surprised. It was very little response. I think our communities have become so used to the fact that one day it's a ban and the next day it's something else, and so it's almost like we've become a little bit immune to real news and the facts of the matter, which is that we're back in a waiting position. What we're told from our national offices and from the State Department and Homeland Security is that the original 45,000 people that the White House had agreed to allow to come in 2018, in a fiscal year 2018, they will still come. It's just going to be that they're going to be so delayed, maybe until March or April of next year, that all or most of those 45,000 will come in that time crunch between March and September, which, of course, puts us in a difficult position with actually managing the program.
Is there any movement in the courts at all? Has anybody gone into district court to try and stop this?
I haven't heard. I'm sure there's a couple of federal courts, the one in Hawaii that typically works on these things, but I haven't heard anything that there is so much going on in that executive order. In effect, the refugee resettlement program, which was traditionally under the U.S. Department of State, under the PRM, has now moved under Department of Homeland Security. And so there are so many different changes to the program that just weeding through and trying to understand what's actually, how this is going to affect everyone is still being sought out by the courts and by everyone who's involved in this process.
You know, you said that U.S. military interpreters from Iraq won't get in. That seems to put them in a very precarious and dangerous situation, because if they're found out that they're working with the Americans, they and their family could be murdered, and it's happened to many interpreters in the past. So could you talk about the this dilemma for military interpreters in Iraq?
Sure. So we have not resettled any Iraqi interpreters. We have resettled three Afghan, they're called special immigrant visas, SIVs, and those are people who either helped as interpreters, or we have a person who was a mechanic living in Carson City. And the stories that they tell about what kind of life they had after being found out that they had actually assisted U.S. military, they're horrendous. They were in daily fear of having their families killed, of having themselves killed. Some of them had to live in U.S. compounds. That's how unsafe they were. And so to put the Iraqis back into that category of the banned populations, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
So what specifically did the executive order do? Did it add to nations that are now banned? Is that it?
It added six countries to the original five. So it is now 11 countries that are under a special security advisory opinion. So they're going to be looking at vetting them further. It extended the ban for another 90 days, and it put the refugee resettlement program under the Department of Homeland Security. It does a number of other things as well.
It was under the State Department before?
Yep, and now it's going under Homeland Security in a sort of a joint operation that people aren't sure how that's going to work. The reason why these things are difficult to do is, so if you think about the pipeline, the 2 to 3 years it takes refugees to be vetted and adjudicated and interviewed and all of the medical and other checks, we had about 40,000 people in the pipeline that were waiting to come to the United States. All of those people are now back in the very back of the line of the pipeline because they're going to have to be re-adjudicated and re-vetted again.
All right, wow. Let's take a break. More with Karina Black when we come back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Karina Black. She's the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. So let me ask you this. How do we compare with other nations like Germany, Canada, in terms of refugee settlement, resettlement?
So the term refugee is the issue here. On the standards of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugee, the official refugee count today is 21 million. The United States has received the most refugees in the world, almost 3.5 million people since 1980. The people that are coming to Germany and Sweden, other countries, are also refugees, but not the official type refugees that as named by UNHCR. So, of course, Germany has probably resettled most of these migrants that are crossing the border, over 1 million. So Canada accepted under the actual official refugee resettlement program probably about 45,000 people in the last year. So we rank now quite low in current numbers, but traditionally over the last 30 years, we have resettled more refugees, official refugees, than any other countries. And I should add, we have resettled more refugees under Republican administrations than under Democratic administrations.
You know, from what I could gather in doing some research last night, you have successfully resettled 64 people in Reno since August of 2016. Do I have that number correct?
It's 77, actually.
77. Okay, I had some old information. What I'm wondering about is that I see on Facebook and social media quite often videos of perhaps white Americans being really rude to immigrants and people of color, standing in a Walmart checkout line. Have the refugees in Reno that are resettled here, have they had to endure this kind of discrimination or hate talk?
Yes, they have. Especially our Muslim refugees have faced certain type of discrimination on buses, on public buses, in a community, standing in a Walmart line. I think that for them to report those kinds of things is very difficult because typically refugees come from places where they don't trust authority. So we actually struggle in getting them to report hate crime because they don't trust that something is going to happen and they don't trust the system, essentially. So we have a lot of work to do in training our refugees that if you are faced with discrimination, you need to let somebody know. So we just have basic reports that it's happening, and then when we push them to file a police report, they refuse to do that.
Well, I could see why.
You know, it's ironic that your organization helps with resettlement and is now being blocked from moving any quicker than you can. At the same time, you bring in journalists from all over the world via the State Department. No problem.
Right. And actually, for the State Department, all of the different kinds of programs that we run, for most of the exchanges, we continue to bring in people from those 5 or 11 banned countries. So there's a double standard to those. And if you think about it, if you're chosen by a U.S. embassy, for example, in Sudan or Somalia, you're vetted for 5, 6, 7 months. If you're a refugee to come to this country, you're vetted for 2 years, 3 years. We have refugees that have been waiting in refugee camps for 16 years, 20 years. So yeah, it's definitely it's a double standard, and it's the administration really having a very chaotic foreign policy.
And that's where we have to leave it. Karina Black, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Sam Kumar is here. He's the past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. Pat Hickey is the executive director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. And Joe Gill, the attorney, is with us as well. So let's start out with the attorney general's race. Now everybody's out in the open. So we've got Aaron Ford running on the Democratic side and Wes Duncan is now on the Republican side. Your thoughts, Joe?
Two highly qualified, wonderful candidates.
Wow. Okay, fine. Would you like to go into some more detail?
With completely different styles and approaches, but it's going to be a very interesting race. And part of it, I think, is because they're relatively unknown around the state.
Well, and that was going to be my point, is that they, you know, Aaron Ford has not used his position in the Senate to really get out there. And in fact, he's gone silent even on Facebook for the last few weeks. And so really, there's going to be a lot of work, Pat, on both sides to be able to get this out there.
Agreed. And, you know, both interesting figures for sure. I personally know Wes Duncan more because I recruited him to run for office when he was a real underdog against then Speaker to be Marcus Conklin, and really ended up with one of the great upsets of that year and maybe of recent times in winning. So I know something about his work ethic. I think one of the things that he's going to have going for him is you get the sense that Wes Duncan wants to be Attorney General and may not have immediate aspirations thereafter. All too often, it would seem, the Attorney General's race becomes kind of a stepping stone for folks climbing their way up the ladder. I think Wes may be an exception to that.
Well, Sam, you know, nothing wrong with that, though, is there?
Actually, I like that because you want people who are competent. And in a lot of cases, you need to talk them into running. Those are the best candidates and perform the best. And, Wes did a great job in the assembly. And as Pat's colleague, I did not know you recruited him, Pat. So thank you for doing that. I think he'll make a great attorney general. They both start with kind of a semi-clean state slate because of the name recognition issue that you pointed to.
You know, Pat, you just assumed that he doesn't want to go further in politics. Is that he's never come out and said that, and it sounds like you're just patting the Republican candidate on the back, respectively. But you know, you look at Aaron Ford, and the guy's the Senate Majority Leader for two straight terms. He's very well known in Southern Nevada, which was really going to help him. And, you know, I think Washoe County is going to be a 50-50 split. Probably come down just like the last Attorney General's race to rural Nevada. Duncan's got a much better shot there. He might take all of that vote, but I don't know. I think, you know, it's hard to say if anybody has extra political aspirations. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
Joe, you want to take that? Because, I mean, that was interesting with Adam Laxalt that he lost Washoe and he lost Clark, but he won all the rurals.
Well, yeah, I think that's where the race is going to be decided. And I think that Wes Duncan has a natural base out there. A, he's a Republican. B, he's relatively conservative compared to Senator Ford. Senator Ford has a record because he's spoken out about a lot of things over the last 6 years as a state senator. And so that will be something that can be attacked, I think, and maybe resonate in rural Nevada and probably, I think, in Washoe County, too. I kind of look at this as a little bit more different. You got a guy from the south in Aaron Ford. Duncan lives there, too, by the way, but I think he'll appeal more in north and the rural areas.
You know, how do you think this is going to play out? In the past, Pat, you know, it's been, you know, Clark County was solidly Democrat. The rurals were solidly Republican. And then Washoe County was, you know, the swing county in the swing state. Is that no longer the case?
Possibly not. But I still hold on to the notion that Nevadans, by and large, will vote for the person. And by that, I mean they frequently split their ticket. I think the higher offices, both the U.S. Senate race and the gubernatorial race, are going to probably end up being highly partisan. I think
what?
No big news there. But I think in the case of the Attorney General's race, you may find a candidate that's most successful that sort of plays it more down the middle and Nevadans. And the increasing number of independents, I would say, might be inclined to vote for the person necessarily other than the party.
Sam, are you seeing that?
Addressing your previous question, I still think Washoe decides. When you look at Adam's race, that's an outlier. And even in that case, it was a razor-thin margin by which Adam Laxalt won. And this being a non-presidential year, I do think that Wes Duncan's chances are much better, and he would most likely take Washoe and the rurals and overcome the resistance from Clark.
You mentioned that you could, you know, hit Aaron Ford on his record. He's got a record to attack. What would you attack on his record?
Well, if I was a conservative Republican, I would kind of play to the base that follows President Trump, frankly. And Aaron Ford is liberal, Democrat, union-backed. That's how I would do it.
And is that the way it plays out in the governor's race, too?
I thought we were talking about the Attorney General.
No, I know, but you know.
Yeah, I think that you can generalize and say that could be the calculus. Sure.
Pat, agree, disagree? Got about 15 seconds.
I agree with Joe.
Okay, Sam?
Agreed.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Agreement on this panel. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
On our next broadcast, a fascinating program with Gregory Lisa. He's an attorney with Hogan Lovells, a major D.C. law firm that specializes in money laundering cases and also compliance in gaming. We'll see you then.